Du hører en podcast fra Trondheim Frikirke. Ta gjerne fram Bibelen din.
Psalm 42, to the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, "Where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God.
We are starting a new series, as we have already said several times. It's called The Prayer Book of Jesus. And we are focusing on the Psalms. And you might ask, why are we focusing on the Psalms? Well, first of all, it's great poetry. It's some of the best poetry that is written. And it's full of wisdom. And not only that, it speaks to every aspect of human emotion. You find joy, fear, gratitude, confusion, despair, hope, worship. It encourages reflection and stillness. But maybe most importantly, this was the prayer book of Jesus. And just as Jesus prayed out from the Psalms, it can also help us to learn how to pray. It's a reason why Martin Luther called the Psalms the Little Bible. I do not know how you pray, but when I pray, I often have a set list of topics that I'm going to get through. This is something that has stuck with me from when I was a child. Start with praying for my family, then my friends, and this, and then this, and then I have to say this, and then this. And the list is the same. The only time it changes is when someone dies. And then I have to remind myself, okay, this part of the family isn't there anymore. And a formula for prayer is fine. But my formula is missing urgency. It's missing life. And is missing a true connection with a God that wants a personal relationship with me and with us. And you might ask, if the problem with my prayers is that they get too stylish and structured, can 3,000-year-old pre-written prayers help? I hope that during this series, you will get the answer to that, and that the answer is yes. The church father Athanasius of Alexandria said, "The other scriptures speak to us, but the Psalms speak for us." We're starting this series by looking at Psalms of Lament. And I was given the task of holding this sermon because I am the most lamenting person I know. Always whining. But in my opinion, lament is a good place to start. Not only is it the most frequent of psalms, one-third of all psalms in the Bible is psalms of lament. And then we also have a book called Lamentation. The book of the Bible is full of sorrow, of brokenness, of lament. And it's important for us because there are Christians, maybe also in our church, who is of the opinion that we at all times should be filled with joy. We who have Jesus in our hearts should at every moment at least be content. We have, after all, eternal life. We do, after all, believe in the Almighty God that loves us. So is there any reason for us to lament? However, there is a difference from where we want to go and where we are at. And when I look at our church, and when I look at the congregation, and when I look at the world, I do see a lot of joy. But I also see brokenness, I see anger, I see sorrow. And if you feel any of those things, this sermon is for you. And if you don't, you can look at the news and be inspired. But we can still lament with those who feel the sorrow and care for the downtrodden. Where my prayer life has a tendency to become feelingless, that is not the case of the Psalms in the prayer book of Jesus. Psalm 42 that Tina read for us is the first psalm of the second book. You might not know that the book of the Psalms is structured in five books altogether. And the first psalm in the second book of the Psalms is this one. And it begins with lament. And this psalm, Psalm 42, is closely connected to Psalm 43. And originally, there might have been one psalm. It is written by the sons of Korah. And the sons of Korah might have been temple singers. We don't quite know who they are, but they possibly are temple singers that fled together with David when he had to flee from the rebellion of Absalom. It displays a very real period of strife, of being cut off. And at the same time, it speaks into our lives. And that is the beauty of the Psalms. Even though they were written for specific situations long ago, they're also written for the situation that Jesus and his disciples were in, and it was written for the situations we find ourselves in today. In his introduction to the Psalms, Martin Luther wrote the following about the Psalms of Lament. Where do you find more profound expressions and melancholy and of sorrow, than are contained in the Psalms of affliction and of mourning? You look, I say, into the very hearts of holy men. You become familiar with death, and the interior of the tomb is opened to you. We see it dead and dark under a consciousness of the just wrath of God, and we perceive that his countenance is, as it were, turned away from us. In the two great passions of fear and hope, we find them depicted in language which no painter can embody, and which the greatest human actor would an effectual attempt to transcend. As I've gotten older, this is one of the things I appreciate the most about the Bible, how it manages to fathom both the divine and every aspect of what it is to be human. And few places in this dichotomy is clearer than in the Psalms. So let's dive into Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. I think many of us can relate to this thirst for God. But when was the last time you poured out your soul? When was the last time you yelled at God? I wish my prayer life was as real as that of the psalmist. I wish I, instead of my long rehearsed prayers, could pour my soul out. If we truly believe in a God that wants to have communion with us the way we are, as broken, sinful humans, we have to start acting that way. Maybe we should all be joyful because we have the Holy Spirit, but we can't pretend to be at a place we're not. We need to give ourselves to God, not as we are supposed to be, but as we are. The late Timothy Keller read every psalm each month of the last 20 years of his life. And he said the following of the Psalms of Lament. Let the Psalms of Lament shape your prayer of lament. The psalmist, despite their intensity and shocking candor, always pour out their white-hot feelings to God, no matter how angry and despondent you may be. If you use the Psalms of Lament to give your words for your prayers, you will in no sense feel stifled or bottled up. Rather, the language of the laments are so startling that they will probably help you to be more honest about your emotions than you would have been. And so the Sons of Korah continues. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All the waves and breakers have swept over me. Deep calls to deep. This is the verse that sticks with me, but I can't fully explain why. And I use some time on figuring out what does he actually mean. And I think my conclusion was, in order to understand this verse, you also need to understand the desperation. For it's a cry from the deep. From the deep of his soul, from the deep of his heart. And the psalm that started with the thirst for the life-giving water now has an overflow of water, but it's not life-giving. For the call from the deep drowns in the roar of the waterfalls. And instead of the life-giving water, it's the mighty waves and breakers that drowns. It's a man that calls out in desperation from the mighty sea. It's a picture that goes through the Bible. The water as both life-giving, but also life-taking. And it shows the desperation of the situation. And I think this verse is best understood for those of you who feel that desperation in your own life, who has tried to call out from the deep of your heart without being answered. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go on mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, and my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? It's desperation, but it's desperation that is brought before God. Because whatever your sorrows, whatever your wounds, you are invited to bring them to God. Lay them at the cross. God doesn't want fake content. He wants real people. He wants your anger and he wants your pain. In fact, he died for that. And therefore we pray, God, why are you so far away when I need you? Why do I not feel your presence? Why do you allow sickness among my friends and family? Why do I feel so alone? Why is there so much evil in the world? Why do the evil seem to flourish while the just suffer? Why are you not doing anything? But we can't end there. Our prayer can't end there. Because it can be good to throw our lament at God. But we can't let us stop at that. Because the prayer I said is without any hope. And Luther promised that the Psalms combine sorrow with hope. Yes, we are going to lament. We can be angry. We can show sorrow. But if we let it stand alone, it will only lead to bitterness. So let us not lament without hope. I quoted Timothy Keller earlier, but the quote has a continuation. The laments don't just help you to be emotionally honest. They also bring you to the real God. Our great danger is that in the midst of our pain, we forget or deny that God is a God of wisdom, power, and goodness. The psalmists, struggling as much as any of us, will nevertheless draw us back toward that reality and anchor us in it. And Psalm 42 is no exception. Because I don't know if you noticed, but I left out parts. In verse 8, the psalmist admits that even though he doesn't see it clearly now, he knows of God's love. Just as you and me, in our desperation, might not feel God's love, we can still know it. Because it's not only about feelings, it's about our knowledge. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And in verse 5 and 11, as well as in verse 5 in Psalm 43, we meet the refrain, a constant reminder throughout the Psalms that even though the psalmist is desperate, he also knows that there is something more. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. This is the moment of surrender. The point where the psalmist acknowledges that even though he doesn't feel the presence of God at that very moment, he knows of God's love. It's a promise that is not dependent on how I feel or my circumstances. And this is where we need to get in our lament. Because without it, we pray without hope. And no matter what you're going through, there is hope in the promises of the Bible. Whether you have lost someone, whether you feel lonely, or are a child in a war-torn land, we have hope. Because our hope is founded in the darkest of all laments in the Bible. Because there is one prayer, one lament that was uttered without hope. Because where the psalmist called for a God that feels distant, Jesus cried for a God that was not there. When he hung on the cross, he cried out in despair, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's a lament without hope. And God had become human. And this God was now cut off from the godly, so that we never have to. So let us cry out to God. I don't manage to. So let us cry out to God. Let us lay our sorrows, our anger, our frustration, our despair, our brokenness at his feet. But never without the knowledge of his eternal love and the hope in him. Because he is the one who says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And as we encourage to pray through the Psalms, I will finish with praying, not a prayer of my own, but Psalm 43, the continuation of the Psalm 42. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people, from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the one in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let him lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy. And I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God.
Takk for at du har hørt på. Velkommen til gudstjeneste søndager klokka 11. Mer informasjon finner du på trondheim.frikirke.no.